Shabbat Shalom, huh? Yes, thank you. I'll tell you, when my wife and I left the Riverside area yesterday, about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, I can't remember. It was 102. When we got to paradise, it was 72. This is paradise, folks. 72 is wonderful for us. 102 is like, oh, God is good, isn't He? Can you count the blessings? Can you count them, really? You run out of hands, don't you? And then you got your toes. It just, after a while, you just go, forget it, you know. God is good, isn't He? And He's good all the time, isn't that right? And all the time He's good. Thank you. You guys are kind of waking up. A problem with grace, huh? It's about 1969, and I was traveling home by plane. I spent a lot of hours on jet planes traveling around the world, and I became sort of a connoisseur, or at least a good judge of which airlines were the best, had the best food, served the best, were on top of it, had their act together. And back in those days, it was Cathay. I don't know if any of you have ever flown on Cathay. You know about Cathay? I don't think they exist anymore. Maybe they do. But Cathay was an airline owned by, actually came out of Hong Kong. And it was good service, really good service. The food, you know, man, it was great. But I spent many, many hours in airports, as I've told you before. And I began to enjoy sitting in airports because in airports, you can kind of be a sociologist in a way. You can sit there and you can watch people come in and you can observe what they're doing. You can see how they're acting. You can kind of tell what's going on. You know, if a wife is leaving or if a husband is leaving for a long time or if he's just going on a short trip, all by looking at faces, watching faces and watching behavior. Yeah, I mean, it's intriguing to me. I love it. I would like to just go to airport once a week and just watch people. People are interesting to watch. You know, we think it's great to go to the zoo or to SeaWorld and watch, you know, the animals. It's great watching people. People are interesting. And so one day I found myself sitting in the Hong Kong International Airport. And Hong Kong was an interesting airport, similar actually to San Diego's, in that it was right by the ocean and it had mountains on both sides. And the planes would come in, and if the wind was too strong, they would run. They would actually land by coming in over the ocean, just real low over the ocean, and the airport came right up to the ocean. They would land. Or if the wind was coming from a different direction, then they would come in over the mountains and just come right in over the skyscrapers, just missing them. It was a tight landing. And I remember this particular landing, we came in over the ocean, and it was really windy that day, and the plane was bucking like this, and I could see the water right there. In fact, it felt like the wheels were touching the water. And I remember coming in and then landing, and my adrenaline rush and all that, you know, that you get from that experience. And then I found myself in the international, Hong Kong International Airport, between flights. And sometimes that could take hours. Sometimes you might even have to sleep overnight in the airport. So I knew I had a lot of time on my hands, so I sat myself down and I just started observing people. And I was waiting to catch a flight. Actually, I was waiting to catch the flight into Singapore. So I was sitting there and I was watching all these interesting people coming in, you know, and trying to guess, you know, what was happening in their lives, you know, where they were going. And I actually struck up a few conversations. I was sitting there and I realized I had quite a bit of time, so I fell asleep sitting there. I don't know how long I was sleeping, but I woke up suddenly and I realized, well, you know, it was pretty close to when my flight was leaving. And so I stood up and I got my bags together, which weren't very many. I like to travel light. And I had my backpack and another handbag that I was carrying. And as I was standing there waiting to get in line, I noticed over in the far corner was this young, well, he was a middle-aged man. And he was dressed very different than everyone else. He wore his shoes without socks and no laces. His pants were extremely baggy, which is in today, but back then it wasn't. His pants were very, very baggy. His coat really didn't match his pants at all. He was actually wearing, you know, a wife beater t-shirt, you know, like a tank top underneath his suit coat. And he carried a little suitcase. It looked like a suitcase, but it was actually woven out of rattan. It was a very interesting little bag that he carried. In the other hand, he had just a grocery sack full of things. And I noticed, though, what brought my attention to him was that he was extremely perturbed. And I couldn't figure out what was wrong. He would squat down, and he would shake his head, and he was looking at a piece of paper, and he would stand up, and then he would pace back and forth, he would scratch his hand, he was muttering something under his breath, and I thought, the poor guy, I felt that way before in an airport. Maybe I can help him. So I kind of wandered over towards closer to him to see what he was saying. And what he was saying was, Adi, Adi. I'm going, Adi, where have I heard that before? Adi. And in bingo, it was Katazan. A tribe in Borneo, that the word meant, it was a word that of exclamation of fear that they use, oh my, you know, kind of an expression. And so I recognized it, and I went over and I said, "Mana Piggy, where are you going?" And he looked at me. And he kind of recognized a couple words. And between the two of us, now he was Katazan and I was speaking Malay to him. Between the two of us, we were able to figure out what was going on. And he eventually handed me his ticket. And I realized this poor guy was in the wrong terminal. Hong Kong Airport was huge. And so I thought, man, I've only got a few, you know, my plane's going to be in here pretty soon. I'm going to be leaving. And here I've got, so I decided we'd help him. I took his bags. I said, "Mari Piggy, let's go. Let's get going. Let's run. Lakas, lakas, let's run." So we ran down the corridor, and people were looking at us like, what's wrong with him? And we ran, and we got to the far end of the airport, and there was his terminal. And we dashed into the waiting room, and there was this poor lady with a baby on her side here, weeping and crying, and they were just closing the door. And I yelled to them, "Hold it, hold the door." And so they held the door, and sure enough, he was just this close to missing his plane. And he was so happy to see his wife and his children. He turned around, he grabbed my hand, and he held the back of my hand to his forehead and said, "Terima kasih banyak. Thank you very, very much." You know, aren't we kind of like that sometimes in our lives? We're in the airport of grace. God is offering us grace. We're in that airport and we're wandering around, we're dashing around trying to figure out if we're in the right terminal. Are we in the right place? Well, let me ask you a question. Can you tell this morning, by looking around the waiting room here this morning, if you're in the right terminal? Can you? Huh? Look around. It's very much like being in an airport, folks. If you all had a chance to come stand up here, you could look around, and as a pastor, you go, "Oh, okay, I see so and so, and whoa, that's good. I'm glad they came." And you know, and it's like an airport, and you kind of get a feel. This is the right terminal, folks. These are your brothers and sisters. You're going to be on the flight with them, and we're all headed to paradise. Rejoice and be glad. You see? But it's true. Sometimes as I look around in the church, I see people who are searching. I'm always happy to see people searching. And I'll run the full length of the international airport to show someone that Jesus loves them. I'm so happy when I see people who are looking for truth, because then we have open hearts to receive what God has. We're all in the great airport of grace. And if you've been to an airport, it's a very, very busy place. In fact, a good analogy, a good example would be to watch an anthill. I mean, everybody's going every which direction. I mean, they're bumping into each other, they're dropping their suitcases, they're spilling stuff all over the place, they're all dashing, they're all running, they're all in a hurry. Some of them are lost, some of them are confused, some of them know exactly where they're going, some of them tell others where they ought to go. They're just running around in the terminal, and it just looks like this. And you go, there's no order here. What's with the chaos? But it's amazing, most people make it to the right terminal. Most people make it on time for their flight. Unless they're procrastinators. And it's interesting. Some know exactly where they're going. Some think they know where they're going. Others are lost and don't know it. Some are lost and they know it. And there are even some misguided souls that wander around the airport terminal thinking they have arrived at their destination. They make the airport their home. Now I'm referring, of course, to people who are confused in our world around us. They think they've arrived. They think they have already reached heaven. They think that they are now in paradise. They've reached their destination. So I ask this question, which is it? Are we lost or found? Are you lost or found? You see, one of the problems I believe in our culture in America is we don't know that we're lost. And the other problem is we don't know we're found. Now think about that. In America, we live in such a wonderful country. With all of its problems, America is paradise to most people. I remember as a kid growing up in Korea, everybody wanted to live in America. Everybody was on his way to living in America. Because America was a wonderful place. But the problem is, in America, in our culture, we don't know we're lost. Things are so good. Things are so wonderful. There's so much to be had. There's so much fun, so much joy to have. There's so many wonderful rides that we can go on. You can go to Disneyland. You can go to Magic Mountain. You can go to SeaWorld. You can go to Vegas and all these other places that will entertain you. And you don't even know that you're lost. Sort of like an airport, isn't it? Everybody looking for the right flight. That's headed to paradise. So once again, I ask you the question, how do you know that you're in the right terminal? I ask myself that. Okay? Let me just share some ideas. And it starts with number one, look at your passport. Here it is. Here it is. Here's your passport. And your passport will tell you where humanity has been, what it's been through, and where it's going. You know, if you look at someone's passport, it's very interesting to look at passports. Some people have passports that thick. Mine was never quite that thick. But you open up a passport, and you can pretty much tell the history of that person's life, at least in their traveling. Because in there are all these stamps of all the countries that they've been into. They have to go in, they have to go through the customs, and they have to go through and get their passport stamped. You see, they have to have a visa for that country. And some people travel so much. In fact, I think Aram, he's not here today. He's with his, well, actually, I think he's leaving, but he was with his wife. And we need to pray for Sonia. She had surgery. And she's recovering now. And so pray for Sonia. But Aram's passport, I'd like to see it. It's probably pretty thick. It's probably pretty thick. The Bible is a passport. It tells us where humanity has been. It tells us what it's been through. All the hardship and all the toil is there. All the difficulty is there. And the beauty of it is that it's God's way of telling us that He loves us. Because look how He's treated all the other people. throughout the history of this world. Check out your passport. Because if you look at your passport, you're also going to see a passenger list. You ever seen a passenger list? You better make sure that if you're flying, your name is on that list. Because they have a list of all the people who have tickets to fly on that particular airline. And in the Bible, we have a passenger list, starting with Adam and Eve and Enoch, Abraham. Look at the book of Hebrews. It gives us a whole list of people that God saved by grace. And I suggest that you add your name to the list. Make sure your name is on the list. The second thing, how do you know you're in the right terminal? Look at your boarding pass. What does your boarding pass say? I'll tell you what it says. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Ephesians. I'll just give you a hint of what your boarding pass says. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, for the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of what? God's grace. At the top of your ticket it says, saved by the blood of Jesus by God's grace. Do you like that? It's God's grace. You're sitting around in the waiting room in the terminal. You need to make sure you know that you're saved by grace. You can get out if you want. And you can go out there and try to start the plane up. Good luck. You might try to fly it too. You might also crash too. You can't do it on your own. You need a captain. You need a pilot. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, it says, what does it say? Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through what? Through blood. Who shed His blood for us? It was Jesus Christ. Redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Also, if you want to turn to chapter 2, let's look at chapter 2, verse 8. I'd love to read the whole chapter, but let's just look at verse 8. For it is by works. Is that what it says? Can I hear the word?
Grace.
Grace. It is by grace. Charis is the word. If you want to know it in Greek, it's charis. By grace. It is by grace you have been saved. Saved from what? Saved from what? From sin. Now, is there anybody here this morning that hasn't sinned? Okay, good. No takers on that one. It is by grace you have been saved through what?
Faith.
Oh, faith. So I need to know that when I take this ticket and it has the stamp on there of the blood of Jesus Christ, I need to know that when I go up to the door and I say, okay, I want to be on board this flight, the kingdom flight to paradise, I need to know that it's by God's grace, the blood of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, by God's grace, that I can walk through the door into the kingdom. You can't walk up to the man standing at the door and say, okay, here's everything I did good in my life. Here it is. Look at it. Check it out, man. It's real long. I got more, too. You want to see another list? I'm sorry. He'll say, guess what? Depart from here. You're at the wrong terminal. It's at the other end of the airport. And it starts with the letter H. You are saved by grace, okay? It is a gift of God. You are saved by grace through faith. And this not for yourselves. It is a gift. It is a gift. Hello? It is a what?
Yes.
It is a gift. What is a gift? A gift is something that you did not merit. It is not something that you worked for. It is freely given to you. Okay? I like the word gift. Mm-hmm. So are you in the right terminal this morning? Is there a problem with grace? Is there? You know where the problem is? It's us. God's grace. There is no problem with God's grace. Okay? It's when humans get together and start, you know, doing their thing and start messing with each other's minds and start acting like, you know, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. That's when things go bad. The problem with looking for God's grace is that we have a cramped killjoy mentality about it. Huh? Don't we? Yeah, well, we fear with some justification that if we discover God, suddenly all our joy will be sapped out of our lives. Have you ever thought that? I have friends that say, that's why I don't want to be a Christian. You guys are a drag. You're a drag. You're a bore to be around. You can't have fun. You can't have fun when you're a Christian. Because you can't drink, and you can't smoke, and you can't dance, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and life is a drag. I don't want to be a Christian, because if that's what it means, then forget it. God's going to sap all the joy out of your life if you become a Christian. You know the worst one I find? And it's good to hear Barbara laughing, because that makes my heart feel so good. People still have their sense of humor. The worst one is this. I've sensed that we lose our sense of humor. I sense that, and I have friends that say that. You know, when you guys become Christians, you just get all pucker-faced, you know? You know, you're all like you're sucking on lemons. And we're so afraid that our identity will be lost if we follow Jesus Christ. It'll just somehow be sucked out of our lives. And we'll become robots sitting in pews and chanting words and meaningless phrases. What will we do for fun? I know I'm preaching to the choir right now, because this church has no problem with fun. But if there's some of you out there that don't know this congregation, we have fun, all right? So I'm preaching to the choir right now. I realize it, but I want to make my point. I want you to know that as a young man, I still have vivid memories of this. As a young man, that is why it was so hard for me to come back to God. Was that life just seemed so drab. So drab. And I have to be frank, I came back kicking and screaming. Because, you know, I had this idea that God didn't like people with long hair that wore blue jeans. And any time that was spent in rolling in laughter watching the Three Stooges or Peter Sellers was a sin. Okay? Because the world's coming to an end. You can't laugh anymore. You can't have fun anymore. You have to be sad and sorrowful and moan and groan and whine and crawl around on the ground. That's the idea that some people have of us, folks. Can't have any pickles or ketchup or Coke or any oil in your food, or, you know, the list goes on. You can't be frivolous. Anything humorous or tasty that might taste good is sinful. So, what do? Tony Campolo, some of you may know him, is a great speaker. I've heard him a number of times. And in one of his books, he says this: there isn't anything frivolous about having fun. Listen to this. Learning how to have fun is one of the most serious subjects in the world. Now listen to this. Without fun, marriages don't work. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
When jobs aren't fun, they become intolerable and dehumanizing. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
When children aren't fun, they're heartbreaking. I mean, I love it. I love it. Jesus loved children. He thrived on being around children. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. If the kingdom of heaven is full of children, there's going to be an awful lot of fun in heaven. Don't you think? Some of the kids just left. See, I bored them to death already. When children aren't having any fun, they are heartbreaking. When church is not fun, religion becomes a drag. When life is not fun, it's hard to be spiritual. You're saying, okay, Pastor, well, I don't know. Who had fun in the Bible? Well, excuse me. Once again, you need to look at your passport. Let's go back to Psalms 47. Actually, I want to go to Psalms 46. Now, this is David. And granted, you know, David loved to grovel once in a while too, you know. He's like all of us. You know, sometimes you're blue. Sometimes you're down. Sometimes you want to just kind of grovel a little. But I love it. When David comes out of the mud and the muck and the mire and stops, you know, dribbling in his beard, he comes up with some beautiful, beautiful messages of praise to God. Listen to this, chapter 46. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Amen? Amen. Okay. Mm-hmm. God is our refuge. Okay, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way. By the way, did you feel the boom on Friday? I thought it was an earthquake. It was a space shuttle coming in. Oh, boom, and I'm going, well, okay, nothing fell. I'm all right. I mean, we get a lot of that stuff up in the valley. All right? I will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams makes glad the city of God. Oh, there's a river that flows from the throne of God. The holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Amen. Okay. Come and see the works of the Lord. Come and see the works of the Lord, Point Loma. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. But still, be still rather, and know that I am God. Be still. Be still, my soul. Be still, Point Loma. And know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted to the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Is there any question as to whether David understood what joy was all about, what happiness was all about, what it was like to have fun? I mean, all you have to do is just go through the Psalms and just read all the beautiful, beautiful message that David wrote in praise and adoration to God. And I don't know about you, I'm on this flight. Actually, well, we're in the terminal now, and we're getting ready. And I like it. I like the fact that David's with us, okay? I like the fact that he's on the list. He's part of those who wait for the coming of the Lord. Oh Lord, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. I thought it'd be nice if we would sing a song. Who's your best friend this morning? Is it Jesus? I thought we'd do this a cappella too. We have the words. What a friend we have in Jesus. And it's a beautiful song. And look at the words, okay? And sing it with a knowledge that Jesus is right here with the power of His Holy Spirit. He's right here in this room. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because
because we did not carry everything to God in prayer.